Good evening, everybody.
Hi.
Well, I think we sang some of the best songs tonight. I mean, we were on a roll with all these good singing songs, good feeling songs. So that was kind of uplifting and nice. So thank you for giving me this time tonight to talk. It's kind of been a rough week for me. I've been super busy and actually a little tired. So I didn't even know if I was going to make it tonight, but I figured I'd do what Millie says. You know, I may be tired, my body may be tired, but my soul's never tired, so it always helps when I do that. I thought I'd share a few things that that have happened to me as usual, because that's the only way I can figure out these talks, is that I think Spirit kind of keeps giving me episodes to keep working and growing and keep going in life, so I figure maybe if I share them that you too will have some feedback and help you with your growth as well. I called my talk tonight The Ocean of Life. From the wider perspective of the spirit, human life appears as a tableau representing the form and substance of earthly life as an ocean, on which each life is a boat. The sea can be stormy, the sky gray, and then again the sun will shine and the waters will be calm until the next storm comes along. And so it alternates until the journey reaches its destination. And this destination is the firm land, the world of spirit, your true home. Thus all depends on how well you can direct your own life. While one person is a trained and experienced, skillful captain, and as such is not afraid of danger, he or she directs their little boat well through the elements and in calm and good periods gathers strength for the next storm. While another gets nervous and loses inner control when a storm is brewing. Yet another is so scared that in their extreme fear does not even steer their own boat at all, but lets it drift through the storm of life. Thus does not gain anything. We are aware, of course, that the atmospheric disturbances, the thunderstorms, the hurricanes, the clouds that gather are the tests that life brings to us. So it is up to us as human beings to use our spiritual inner guidance to become aware and recognize where our little boat is at any particular time. I once read by a Buddhist monk that thus Westerners think that nuns and priests are holy. And the monk replied, "Oh, we're not holy. We're not holy people. We just work at being spiritually conscious." So I thought, wow, that's really a wonderful way to look at life, because I was raised Catholic and I was put through Catholic schools and I always thought the nuns, they were just above everybody, and so were the priests. But I realized as I became older that they were just human beings that were early actually decided in their life or had a chosen path that they decided that they wanted to be spiritual and grow spiritually, however that meant to them. And I believe that we don't have to be nuns or priests or ministers or anything, that we're all on the same path too. And some of us devote more time and energy or awareness to our own personal growth. And just like this, the ocean of life, that we're all steering our own boat, that we have determined how we're going to weather the storm, whether we let the storm just take care of us and throw us over here on this shore or throw extreme waves at us, or how we're gonna actually handle any type of discomfort or uneasiness in our own life. And I thought it was a really good example for me, because analogy for me, because it taught me this week when I was going through some of my own turbulence with something really silly, but I couldn't believe how something from the outside world came in through my mailbox. And I got this notice, and I looked at it, and I have personally been doing the accounting for our business, my husband and I's business, and for our personal. And this was a silly thing about getting something in the mail. It was a credit card. So I thought, okay, I got this credit card, and I've been working diligently and keeping our accounting in a really good place. And I don't know, like all of you, you've probably taken credit cards and did balance transfers into another one that was a lower percentage rate, and I thought, oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all of our money over here and transfer it over here and make it, you know, into a lower interest. And I was doing really good with that, and I got everything all organized and everything completely sound and solid, and I felt really happy. Then I went down to my mailbox, and I pulled it out, and I got the bill from that. And it says that not only was I late, but that, you know, once, you know how it goes, once you've messed up, your interest rate goes way high again. So here at all my work, and I couldn't believe how upset I got over this. And I was thinking, this is so silly, but it was something so real to me. And I went back in, and I thought, how did that happen? How did it happen? And really, it was something so simple that I had just taken as all my organizing and process that I was doing and taking that piece of paper and putting it into a different file, and it got just shuffled around, and I missed it. So I thought to myself, well, you know, what am I going to do about this? I can't change it, doggone it, I can't change it. But I thought about all the things that it started bringing up in my life about money and finances and how I felt about everything. And then I had to start looking at what my belief systems were about money and how I thought about it. And here I was a single mother throughout the years, and I had struggled financially to get ahead and to raise my own two kids on my own. And so in my adult life, and probably in my childhood with my mom and them, because we had six kids, we all lived on a very limited income, that somewhere my belief systems were that, you know, wasn't enough. Now, I know this sounds like a big old to-do about a little credit card, but I think that's how it whirlwinds with us in our own daily life. It can be something silly that, whether it's work or something somebody said, a relationship, or it can be illness, or it can be something in our life that throws a little dust up at us. And then we're off on this tangent, and we're just going over here. And before we know it, if we look at it, we can see really where it came from, where that belief system kind of started growing and that lives within us. And so I realized that this process, how was I steering my boat? Now here I was like kind of wobbling and felt like out of control, and I was letting it drift all over. And so I pulled myself back and I said, you know, this is an old way of reacting, Rita. So I thought, the only thing you can do is how about trying something new? You know, the old behaviors are not just working. So, and besides, I realized that to be receptive, again, I always go back to Millie, because she's like that little voice in your head all the time, with these little things that she says, that you watch your thoughts, watch what you're thinking, and watch your actions. And we're all automatic. We respond back to the way we trained ourselves, the way we experienced things before, and then we think we uncovered that and responded a different way, but it comes back around in another different fashion for us to look at again. So here I was looking at that again and decided to respond differently to it. So I thought, well, you know what? There's nothing I can do about it. What can I do about it? So, and I said, I'm going to turn this over to God, and because God can hold the stars and the sun and the moon, and, you know, look at all this creativity out there. I mean, if you just go in the shopping malls and see all these things that people have made and the things that the colors and everything that's presented in this world and the world of nature, and just even our spiritual family here, like Barbara and her voice and Dennis's voice, and Jolene can do her clown work, and, you know, Larry can do his himself. I mean, there's so many gifts and so much creativity, that why squash so much of that creativity with just these thoughts that I'm having from some kind of trained response that I learned? So I really had to work at changing my thinking and changing my feelings about how I respond. It was a simple thought process, and I thought, well, you know what? God's telling me that here I am, it's trying to show me more love. He's showing me an area where I'm not loving myself more. Because love has an interesting way of opening up the can for you. And what it wants to do is that it's the powerful force in the universe. And so it's going to show you where you're unlike it. And so we're just an instrument of that nature and part of that field of love. And so when we go around and we have all these trained and learned responses from all of our experiences, that uncomfortable feeling that arises from whatever circumstance is mainly because we're not loving ourselves enough. So I thought to myself, well, I'm just going to open up and let God help me out with this. Okay, God, bring me the people, bring me the information that I need to start changing and transforming this old belief system that I've had about money and finance. So I get a phone call from my friend Jerry, and I'm explaining this whole little process as I am to you, and she goes, that's the weirdest thing. I never thought that you even had worries about money, you know, or you were in had problems with finances. I said, well, when I really think about it, I really don't have problems with finances. I have a nice home. I have a nice family. I have a spiritual family. Life is really pretty good. I have a wonderful man. Where am I lacking abundance? But I was lacking in my belief, the monetary thought that I could enjoy life a little bit different than that, just that area. So again, love unfolds where we are not like it. So I continued on, and I decided that I would practice this. So I went off to the store, and every time it started just to creep up a little bit, and I go, no, that's not my job anymore. That's God's job. God and the angels are handling that one for me because I can't do that. So I go into Target, and I'm shopping, and I decide I'm going to walk to the store and just enjoy all these beautiful things that God and the universe made, from candles to the colors to the people in there. So I was looking all around. I got my stuff, and I walked out and parked right next to me in the car, in the van. A big sign in the back. It says, all things with God, all things are possible. And I thought, wow, that's the message for me today. Because, you know, why would somebody park next to me with a big sign like that on their back of their van? So, you know, it's like you tune in to the different parts of what it is that you're really seeking, the good parts. So whatever is uncomfortable, you go to the comfortable parts that you really want to experience. And that's what I've been learning on this process, is to find, like, okay, what am I feeling and what am I aware of today? What am I uncomfortable with? If it shows up, then I just need to open that up and say, okay, God, you want me to love myself more, so where do I go with this? And so if I can't figure it out with my little small brain and my uncomfortable feelings, I turn it over to God and I go, angels and God, help me. And I'm telling you, they work amazing things, as we all know. And I really believe that's where healing occurs. Healing down to the physical level, if you have physical pain, if you can't even deal with physical pain, it's not so for us to sit there and focus on it and go on. And I know it's speaking loud to us at that point, very loud. Pain, 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 pain. Well, I once heard a story, which I want to share with you, about a man. Let's see if I can find it. Here, I'm talking off the top of my head today. Anyway, I remember the story. It was a story that I heard about a man that was picked up a hot poker. And he's holding it, and it's got pain in his hand. He's going, this is a hot poker. And his friend from across the room is yelling, let go of the hot poker. And he goes, but I can't, it's so much pain. I want to hold on to it. And which is really, when we think about it, it's such a really ridiculous story that somebody wouldn't let go of a hot poker. But what it was an illustration of how hard we work on holding on to our pain and our discomfort in life. It was just an illustration of that, by that story. And I thought, we do. We go around, talk about it. We go around, think about it. We go around, share about it with everybody, what's going on. Isn't this terrible? This is where I'm at. But have we ever stopped to maybe just take a different shift? Just shift the gears a little bit and try thinking from a different perspective of how different it would be to think, just think differently and feel differently about something that we're experiencing. And whether that is, you know, like today I was talking about money, that I decided to let go, I couldn't do anything about it, which made it easier for the angels and God and everybody to come in and pour more information and for me to be more receptive to whatever it was that I needed. But if we hold on to resistance, we hold on so tight that we forget, and we all forget all the time, we have to remind ourselves. But the interesting thing is that pain and discomfort are surely clear to us. And we surely are aware by our feelings because we were given that as a gift in our life, as a gift, as a guiding factor to know what is going on in our life. What you think and what you feel is, the old saying is, what you get. And I remember my grandmother, which lived to be 104, telling us that what you think is what you are. And so, that is it ever so true? But it's taken me a whole long time to figure this out. And I'm still working. I'll probably work on it. I'm sure there's a lot more. And I'm sure Millie's going to keep inviting me to talk through the years, because I don't know if she thinks that I need more work and I need to go through more processes, so I have to dig them out more. But it seems that it's working, because it's making me more consciously aware of what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. And so I've just been working at creating this, using my imagination to inspire me. And getting that old habit, form of way of experiencing life, to shift it just a little bit and get that power of separating that clear, quiet, common sense in ourselves from that turbulent and that willful resistance, and quieting our own inner nature to be able to hear what we really need to be able to hear. Because usually we're so busy with this outer world. And the interesting thing is, which we all do know intellectually, that when we die, this is just, you know, an experience that we had and what we created here on the plane. It's all about the journey and how about how you live it. That's what you're going to experience when you go on the other side, is what you take with you is how you feel. When you look back on memory lane, when you're doing your epitaph and you're looking back, you can say, God, I love these people. Gosh, they love me. Gosh, it took me years to work out of my own self-consciousness and become alive and experience who I am and not really care what other people think. Or gosh, you know, and I have to tell you, it's quite difficult at first. When you start opening, you decide that you're going to start jumping out there and being who you really want to be. It's difficult. It's not easy, because we worked really hard at being the opposite. We worked hard at, for me, I would say at least, I worked hard at being quiet and shy. Now you're going to have to worry, because I'm going to become loud and boisterous. No. But steadily, if we keep in the right direction for our spiritual growth and our inner growth, because I think that brings us the most reward in life. And those things that we can't get from the stores, we can't get, you know, even as much as we love each other, we can't get that inner feeling of self-joy and love unless we take the steps to get that. So, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what your experience, and from one gamut to another, look at where you're discomforted. You know, it's a good thing. It's not a good nor bad or wrong or right. It's a wonderful thing to use your awareness to determine what you need to open up to, what God wants to say to you. God is saying something to you that, hey, I want to love you more. Let me be there for you more. Do you know, behind every door is all your dreams and wishes and any of your desires that are there. They're all there waiting for you. We're the only ones that are holding the door. We're standing in front of the door holding the door because we're not being receptive to receive those things because, oh, we got the credit card issue, or we got a relationship issue, or we got whatever issue. And of course, these are all there. But if you start to deciding, just take one step and decide to look at it differently, you will see a dramatic change in your own experience, because you're being more receptive to let in that energy that wants to flow through you, so extremely powerful, that essence of love. And I, not only essence of love, I think it's the creativity that we all have. Well, from that perspective, I think I've covered everything that I wanted to say. You know, I just appreciate the opportunities that we get to experience in this church and with each other, and the opportunity for growth always. So it makes it a wonderful realm for us to grow. I don't think there's any other churches like it or any other forums like it that you get to learn to be more of yourself and who you want to be. And with that, I'll leave. Just remember the sign. With all things, with God, all things are possible. Thank you.